Now, if you would, go ahead and take your Bibles and go to 1 Samuel chapter 17. 1 Samuel chapter 17. We're going to read verses 22 through 27. 1 Samuel 17, 22 through 27. I will read the even verses and together. Tell you what, how about if we read the even verses together, and then I'll read the odd verses. 1 Samuel chapter 17 and verses 22 through 27. Let's stand as we read the Word of God this morning. 1 Samuel 17 verses 22 through 27. Verse 22, ready? And David left his carriage in the hand of the keeper of the carriage and ran into the army and came and saluted his brethren. And as he talked with them, behold, there came up the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistines, and spake according to the same words, and David heard them. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were sore afraid. And the man of Israel said, Have ye seen this man that come up? Surely to divide Israel as he come up, and it shall be that the man who killeth him, the king will enrich him with great riches, and will give him his daughter, and make his father's house free in Israel. And David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, What shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine, and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine, that he should defy the armies of the living God? And the people answered him after this manner, saying, So shall it be done to the man that killeth him. And let's pray. Father, I do thank for today and the opportunity we can be able to be here, to be able to hear the Word of God that you preserve for us, that you've kept so that we can have it. We can know about you. We can know about your love. We can know about what you'd have us to do in our lives. And I just pray that you'd open up our ears to be able to hear the Word of God this morning so our faith can be increased. Because there's somebody outside this room, somebody outside the hearing of this word today that needs the gospel and wants the gospel. So I pray that you help us to have our faith increased by hearing your word so we can reach them with the gospel. Please fill preacher with your power as he comes and brings the message to us this morning. And Lord, we'll give you on glory for what you do. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
Amen. I want to preach a message this morning entitled Facing the Giants. Facing the Giants as we continue in 1 Samuel chapter 17. Of course, we were there last week and we talked a lot about David's outlook on what he saw compared to how the rest of the Israelites saw Goliath. And of course, as I had illustrated up on the wall, I won't do that today, but just for the sake of those that weren't here last week, the Bible tells us that gives us some dimensions of how tall Goliath was. So I have this painting stick that 18 inches is a cubit. The Bible says he was six cubits and an extra 9 inches on top of that. So that gives us 117 inches tall. That's 9.9 feet. That's a pretty tall guy. And of course, David being a young lad, just a small preteen boy, I imagine. And so as he faced that giant, just kind of not fair odds. And of course, Israel saw Goliath in his height, saying, no, he's too big to take down. David saw it through spiritual eyes and says, you know what, compared to God, he's too big not to take down. And he's too big to miss. And, you know, as the saying goes, you know, whenever someone would miss something that was very, very large, we'd say, man, you couldn't hit the broadside of a barn. Why? Because it's so big. David's looking at it saying, man, Goliath, he's a broadside of a barn. How could you miss such a target? You know, I'm wiry. I can move around, but man, he's big and slow. But we see that David came to his brothers as his father told him to give bread, and he goes out there. And at first, you don't hear any quarreling between his brothers. He first gets out there, salutes them. Boy, they're talking. And it wasn't until Goliath came out, chased everybody away, and then David says, well, what are we going to do about this young man? What are we going to do about this giant? That's when his oldest brother started getting in there and causing some trouble. But I want to look and remind us, last week we looked at the fact that David was a picture or a type of Christ, of course, coming to defeat the giant, and Goliath was a picture of Satan. Of course, everything that Satan has in this world, boy, to all the power and the armies of this world, Christ is going to come back, and he's going to claim the victory. But Jesus, who in the days of his flesh, won the battle against Satan, against the enemy, the devil, and is leading us as an example to follow in his footsteps. According to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21, it says, "For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his footsteps." We are to follow in the footsteps of Christ. That's what the term Christian, according, remember, That term Christian was meant to be an insult, but yet we wear that as a badge of pride to think the word Christian means a Christ follower. We are to follow in his footsteps. And so Jesus, he taught and he won, he fought and he won the battle so long ago, but yet there is still a continuing battle that needs to be fought today. Make no mistake, the battle's already won. Jesus has already claimed the victory. As he died on the cross, his last words were, "It is finished." He has won the victory. But yet, in a sense, there's also a battle that needs to be fought every day. Not the battle for our sin, not the battle to pay for our sin. Christ has already conquered death, hell, and the grave. The Bible tells us he has won the victory. But there is a battle that needs to be fought every day against our sin, in the sense of sin reigning in our lives. If we have forgiveness through the blood of Jesus Christ, we're on our way to heaven, but we won't live victoriously if we allow sin to conquer us each and every day. So there is a battle that needs to continually to be fought. Because of Calvary, we don't fight for victory. We already have the victory. But because of the victory of Calvary that Jesus has already secured, we must fight. Because of what Jesus did on the cross, because if we'll claim the victory through Jesus, we can win that battle each and every day. There is no excuse for the Christian in 2022 to live the defeated Christian life. As I said last week, God's desire for each and every one of you is to have victory in your lives for Him, to have victory over sin, and not to let Satan or this world or this flesh keep you in bondage any longer. And to understand, if we'll claim the victory that Jesus Christ won on the cross of Calvary, each and every day we can slay those giants that stand in our way to keep us from serving God and doing His perfect will. And that's God's desire for us. But the sad fact is, many Christians are happy where they're at. They're content. All of the army of Israel was content staying in the foxhole or the trenches. They were content staying where they were. They were content listening to Goliath go on about all that he wanted to do to them and all how he was going to defy their God. They were very content just staying where they were. But there was one young little boy, David, that said, "You know what? You ain't gonna talk about my God like that. And not without me doing something about it." And of course, he did something, and that's why many Christians still continue to struggle with sin. Maybe the same sin that you struggled with before you got saved. Maybe you say, "Well, it's just my besetting sin. It's just a sin I'm going to struggle with the rest of your life." Now, that might be a nice excuse because you want to keep it along with you along the journey. But understand, you can have victory over anything in your life that you're struggling with, whatever the giant is in your life that you are facing. Now, for some of us, those giants may be different things. But what is the giant in your life? Is it lust? Is it envy? Is it fear? Is it greed? Is it doubt? What's standing between you and the joy of victory through the Lord that God wants you to have? This is a victorious example that we have in 1 Samuel chapter 17 that can help you to live like a king as we serve the King of Kings. And there are four principles we need to consider. I don't know if we'll get through all four this morning, but I hope that we can. But the first principle I want to give you as we face these giants is to understand the principle of persistence. Persistence. We all know what that word means, to continually go back again and again and again. As the saying goes, the squeaky wheel gets the grease. You know why? Persistence. We know of the widow that was done wrong, and she went to the judge over and over and over again, and the judge said, finally, I'm going to grant her request because she's going to make me weary. She's going to drive. You know what he was saying? She's driving me crazy. I've got to meet her need just so she'll be quiet and leave me alone. You know what? Persistence. I'm thankful that David didn't give up. I'm thankful that David didn't look at all the obstacles and say, well, it's just too much for me to do all on my own. No, he was persistent. Any battle going to be won, it's going to be won through persistence. Many of the battles that have been won, there have been many tries to seize the victory, but they tried again and again and again and again until how a boxer, will endure those pounds just being persistent, round after round after round, and just try to stand up longer than the opponent. But King David was brought to Saul, and David said, let no man's heart fail thee because of Goliath. What did he say? Don't worry about him. Look at verse number 32 of chapter 17. And David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant, who's he saying? He's talking about himself. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine. Now imagine King Saul. We talked about how Saul was head and shoulders over the rest of Israel. Saul was a big man, anywhere from 6 to 7 foot tall. So his might, he's sitting there and he's got this little boy saying, you know what, King, don't worry about it. No one's heart should be troubled over this big, big giant. I'll go out and fight him. I kind of imagine King Saul kind of snickering, or maybe just kind of smirking a little bit, like, hey, look at the arrogance of this little guy. You think he's going to go out and do this and fight with this Philistine? But let me tell you, not only did David have persistence, but he had purpose in his heart. You've got to have purpose in your heart if you're going to see the victory over the giants in your life. He would do it, and he was not deterred by anything. There was plenty going on around him to deter him. There was many things this is what causes many to not have victory in their life. They get sidetracked. They let the dismay of others bring them down. But David had a purpose in his heart. He had a cause. And the Bible says that the whole Israel, all their army, was dismayed and greatly afraid of Goliath. And of course, we said last week, he'd go out every day. Goliath went out every day, morning and night, for 40 days. And he called out for someone to fight him, as you'll see through verse 11 through 24. You know, fear is infectious. Fear is something that, boy, will cause others to be afraid of us. But understand, David, he wasn't daunted. You might as well know right now that when you're in the battle, you're going to find around you that there are cowardly, weak-kneed people who will say, it can't be done. Serve the Lord in 2022, it can't be done. Win the lost of Orlando, it can't be done. reach the world with the gospel, it can't be done. A young lady and a young man to live up in today's society and to live purely and to go to the wedding altar, a virgin and pure, it can't be done. And let me tell you, there are going to be those around you that'll look and say, it can't be done. But I'm glad David was persistent. I'm glad that David didn't let that fear infect his heart. He still trusted God. And if you're not careful, fear is going to infect you. You'll look at the giants in your life and just say, well, they're just too big. I'm grateful that David didn't look at the giant the same way Israel did. Boy, they're so, oh, he's so big, he's going to kill us all. David looked at it and says, you know what? Compare, yeah, he's a big boy. But the bigger they are, the harder they fall. And compared to my God, he's just a little peon. He's just a little ant. He's just a little fly on the wall that ain't nothing for my God to handle. Let me tell you, fear will keep you from doing what God wants you to do. And as we said last week, one of Satan's tactics as a roaring lion is to cause fear to its prey. And that prey is you and me, trying to keep us from doing what God wants us to do. The fear of man made Saul a coward. Here he is, the biggest. He's got armor. He's the king. He's the leader. But what is he doing? He ain't out there fighting. But the fear of God made David a hero. David had his eyes upon God. Therefore, he was filled with a purpose. As long as we don't have our eyes on God, we're never going to have purpose. Therefore, we're never going to have the courage to face the giants in our lives. We see that David also was persistent in spite of the disdain of others. We see that his brother Eliab in verse 28, and Eliab his eldest brother heard when he spake unto the men, and Eliab's anger was kindled against David, and he said, why comest thou down hither? Saying, why'd you come down here? And with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? His brother saying, what are you doing here, and who's watching the sheep back home? I know thy pride and thy naughtiness of thine heart. For thou art come down, and thou might have seen the battle. I know you're just here just to get a little peek of what's going on. You're being nosy. You're being prideful. You're sticking your nose in where it don't belong because you belong back in the field. Can you just hear it as he curls his lips in disdain? Hey, sonny, this is for the big boys. Why don't you go back home and play with your sheep? Why don't you go back home and play with your toys? You don't have any right being here. Get on back to the wilderness where you belong. You know, people disdain David, and they're going to look down on you too if you try to stand up and serve the Lord. The devil has laughed many believers out of victory. People sneer at us, and we fold up and we run away. Understand, we've got to have some persistence. They laughed at David, and I'm sure that laughter hurt. No one wants to be laughed at, unless you're telling a joke. Then it's painful not to get a laugh, right, Brother Heiger? I feel your pain. Of course, he teaches our Sunday school class and tells a few jokes in the beginning. I've tried to tell some jokes, and they just about go over like that, just dead silence. And you're thinking, okay. But my wife says I'm funnier trying to be funny. You know, just think that me trying to be funny is funny. I don't know. But my kids, they just look at me and shake their head. But can't you just hear it? How the disdain that his own brothers, his own family had on David. And you know, the devil's laughed many people out of victory, has laughed them out the door to think but David, he purposed in his heart that their laughter, even though it hurt, wasn't going to, he refused to let him back up, give up, or shut up. And as David continued to face discouragement, as he purposed in his heart to fight Goliath. Look at verse 33. And Saul said to David, thou art not able to go against the Philistine to fight with him. Here's the king looking at David after David says, you know what? Don't worry, king. Don't be afraid. I'll go get him. Saul looks at him and says, you can't do it. You know, there are going to be those in your life. Maybe it could be It could be a family member. Could be a coworker. Could be those around you, and it's certainly going to be the world, and it's most certainly going to be the devil look at you and say, you can't do it. You can't have victory over sin. You might as well just embrace it. You might as well just accept it. You're going to continue to disappoint God and live in sin the rest of your life. But that's not the case. It will be the case if you listen to it, if you give in to that fear and that discouragement. But Saul was the king of Israel. More importantly than that, he was an expert at war. Look at the rest of verse 33. For thou art but a youth. He's saying, you're too young, you're too inexperienced, you're too ignorant, you're too shy, you're too whatever. And he says, and he, a man of war from his youth. King Saul knew what he was talking about, supposedly, because as a young man, he was fighting. He was an expert in war. He was an expert in fighting because he had been fighting his whole life. And now he's saying to King, to little David, saying, it can't be done. And boy, you think, well, the experts are telling me it can't be done. But yet Saul, the expert, saying it couldn't be done. But let me tell you, when you get ready to live for God, when you get ready to take a sling and cross that valley to face that giant, you're going to face the same three enemies that David faced. You're going to face dismay. You're going to face disdain. And you're going to face discouragement. And you need to understand, you'd better learn that the people close to you, you better understand, you need to get alone and get with the counsel of the Almighty God and get in the halls of the Almighty and do some time and get your strength and your prayer and your encouragement from the Lord, because you're not going to be able to find it in others. You're going to be facing dismay. Oh, what's going to happen in the future? Oh, what's going on around us? I don't know. I don't know what's going to go on tomorrow. I just don't want everybody to hate me. I don't want to be able to go out there and talk about Jesus and everybody want to kick me out of their lives. Oh, it's so discouraging to think all the obstacles they have to overcome. Let me tell you, you'd better learn like David did. He didn't get his strength from those around us, because there was no strength for those around him to gain from, but he gained it from the Lord. Your eyes must be on God if your eyes are on God, you're going to lose the battle. If you start listening to those around you that say, you don't have what it takes, those that laugh at you and those that discourage you, you're going to have a hard time facing your Goliath and getting a victory. Your eyes must be on. David had his eyes on God. The Lord was his strength. The Lord was his shield. The Lord was his helper. How many times in the book of Psalms do you see the Lord is my strength? David was a man after God's own heart. He was not perfect. He did a lot of things that were wrong in his life. But then again, so have we, before we start picking on David too much. But David did some great things for the Lord. You know why? Because he understood it wasn't about his strength. It wasn't about his ability. It wasn't about his size. It wasn't about his own personal wisdom. But he got strength from the Lord, his shield and his helper. David said, I don't care what Eliab said. I don't care what my brother said. Now, maybe we've said that too, but in this sense, I don't care what King Saul says, that I can't go out and I can't do it for the Lord. I don't care what everybody else says. I'm going to do what I know God wants me to do. I'm going to say what God wants me to say. Just like Micaiah said, you know what? I don't care what those 400 prophets say. I'm going to say what the Lord wants me to say. It's amazing how many battles in life are won, not by brilliance, but by stubborn persistence in carrying out God's purpose for us. Just not giving up. Getting back in the ring and you can't see out one eye and you've got a fat bloody lip. You can't talk. You can't hear. Your ears are pounded. But you just get up and you keep on going. Let me tell you, day after day after day, many battles are won because... why? Persistence. David did not give up. He had all the reasons and all the excuses of why he could have quit. But he continued serving the Lord. You know, it's been said that half the battle is just showing up. But the reason some of us aren't winning the battle is we just never show up. How is that? Well, we don't show up to church. We don't show up to pray with the Lord. We don't show up to our personal Bible reading. We don't show up to lead others to Christ. We don't show up to walk with God. You know, what was the difference in the Garden of Eden? God walked with Adam every afternoon. But when Adam and Eve sinned against God, guess what? Adam didn't show up. Sin will cause us or keep us from being where we're supposed to be or to be what we're supposed to be. But many aren't winning battles because we're just not showing up. We're not fellowshipping with others. You know, it's amazed me over the years that those in the church throughout the years is saying, well, there's just nothing in the church going on, you know, just nothing for me to do. And they're never at any function. They're not at the youth activities. They're not at the marriage retreats. They're not at soul winning. They're not at the services. They think, well, of course there's nothing going on if you don't ever show up. And to think some of the reasons we aren't winning battles in our lives is we have come to the place in our lives where we are content and not showing up. Try not showing up to work and see how long you'll have the victory in getting a paycheck. But we don't say, I'm going to do a battle. I'm going to do what the Lord told me to do no matter what. One man was bragging about the great Christian that he was. And he said, I'm not afraid of the devil. But that's not the question. Is Satan afraid of you? Think about it. It's not that we just go around saying, oh, I'm not afraid of the devil. Is the devil afraid of you? And by that I mean, James chapter 4, verse 7, it says, submit yourselves therefore unto God, or therefore to God, resist the devil and he will flee from you. All you got to do is resist and stand with the Lord and the promise. That's a great promise. That means we have to show up and stand firm and Satan will do the running away. That is the principle of persistence. Then there's the principle of progression. David illustrates this so much for us, and it's so valuable if we want to seek to live for the Lord today. Saul told David that he couldn't face Goliath. David told him. So Saul says, you can't do it. You're just a youth. You're too young. What did David say? Look at verse 34. I love this. And David said unto Saul, thy servant keepeth his father's sheep. And there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he rose up against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. Thy servant slew both a lion and a bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defiled the armies of the living God. Do you see the progression here? Before David ever faced Goliath on the battlefield, he killed a lion and a bear by the power of God. Many of us, we want to show up on the field and slay Goliath without doing any work beforehand. We want to claim the victories just like we have in our society. We want everything at our fingertips. We just don't want to have to work for it. We want the salaries that come from a college degree as long as we don't have to pay for it. We want to live in a nice house as long as we don't have to pay for it. We want the cupboards filled with food as long as we don't have to work for it. And boy, to think we want everything. And you know what? Sometimes as Christians, we're the same way. But David had something in his pocket when he went to King David, says, or King Saul, and he says, you know what, King? Before I ever said I'd come and I'd take care of this Goliath, let me just tell you, I took care of my dad's sheep. And there was a lion and a bear that came, and they took one of them sheep. And I went after him, and I slew that bear, and I slew that lion. Let me tell you, because he had won these battles, he was ready for another battle. Many times, we're not ready for the battles that we know we need to face because we haven't finished the battles that God already had for us to fight last week. We're not ready for Monday because we haven't taken care of the battles from Friday. We're just living on ketchup. We're not looking forward to tomorrow and to think what God has done because we can never finish anything. We're constantly procrastinating. We're constantly putting things off. We're constantly coming up with excuses of why we can't do what God wants us to do. And so we just say, I can't have the victory. Why? Because we've never finished the victories of the past. We haven't gotten victories over the things that God wants us to take care of. And so therefore, David learned how to go from victory to victory. Now, could David have fought all three at the same time? Under the power of the Lord, I believe he could have. He had 5 stones, 1 for each. But boy, David was able to take care of those giants and those. I think, I don't know of anybody here that wants to take on a lion or a bear without a gun. I know I certainly don't want to take on one with my bare hands. But to think David was able to have victory after victory, even though his victories over the lion and the bear were won in private. Now don't miss this morning. No one saw him. No one ran around praising him, thinking, "Oh, David, mighty man of valor, you killed a bear and a lion." No. He did what he was supposed to. Another illustration of the life of Jesus before the Savior met and defeated Satan on Calvary. He met and defeated Satan in the wilderness, privately. Matthew chapter 4, verse 1 through 11 tells us of the temptation of Christ as Satan came to try to tempt Jesus. But let me tell you, Jesus won the victory in private. Then he was able to go in public and win the victory on the cross in front of the Roman army, in front of all of those Pharisees and priests and those that wanted to see him dead. He won the victory. You and I, we want to go out and we want to have the victory where everyone applauds and claps and says, "Oh, good job, good job." But we're not willing to win the victories in private. We're not willing to take on the victories in our lives. Jesus met Satan in private in the wilderness so he might win a public victory on Calvary. But many of us, we're not winning the battles in our life because we're losing the little battles. We're losing those little battles because we can't tell ourselves no. The battle of the flesh. Well, we can't tell ourselves no. We can't tell our kids no. We can't tell the bottle or the cigarette no. And boy, it just seems like everything we do, we're just saying yes to everything because we're losing the little battles. Let me tell you, don't expect to win the big ones. Don't think that you're gonna fail, and all of a sudden you'll stand up against this big giant and have the victory. David went out and he fought the lion and he fought the bear to save that little lamb. He could have just said, "You know what? My dad's got more. No big deal." If he had had that mentality, I'm pretty sure he would have stood there and looked at the armies and says, "You know what? There's a lot of other people. Not really my battle to fight." But yet we're losing the giant, we're losing to those giants in our lives because we're losing the little battles. Luke chapter 16, verse 10, it says, "He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much." Therefore, there are no little battles. The Bible continues, "And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much." You know, some of us, we're not ready for the incredible Hulk that comes along. We're not ready for Goliath. We're not ready for the storm of the century because we haven't been faithful in the little things. We haven't been faithful to reading our Bible. We haven't been faithful to praying. We haven't been faithful to memorizing Scripture. And how are we going to think that the Holy Spirit is going to bring to our remembrance things we don't even know? Therefore, we're not taking the time to stay in God's Word and stay faithful in serving Him on a day-in, day-out basis. But yet we think somehow we're going to come in and pump our chest and everybody's going to fall down and listen to us. If you want to know what a person is made of, know, watch how they handle the little things. Watch how they handle the little things. So, well, what makes them tick? Well, just watch them. You'll find out. Let me tell you, I'll be the first to, and I know you're not my priest. I'm not your priest, but I want to make a little confession this week. I blew it. I struggled with a little battle this week. And you're probably sitting there saying, oh, preacher, tell more. We had the opportunity to go to a free concert, and so I paid for parking, but didn't realize that the parking ticket was only good for about an hour. So I came out after about 4 or 5 hours, came out, and it was a Christmas cantata downtown. Wonderful, wonderful. There was a presentation of putting your faith and trust in Christ, and came back out, and the car's missing. And I'm the first thing in my mind, car stolen. Good thing it was my wife's car. I'm looking. I didn't see any glass. That's a good sign. Thinking at least the robbers, they're clean. They're sweeping up after themselves. So I call 911 and they tell me it's been towed. And of course, I'm thinking, I paid $10 for the parking. I put the sticker in the window. I know I did. And I'm mad. At that point, I'm tired. It's been a long day. I'm ready to go home. And I call the towing company of the where it's supposed to be. I pull up my wife's phone. It's got an AirTag. I put one in the glove box so I can track the car if the iPhone's near it. And I can see it's over in the Pine Hills area. And I'm thinking, oh, you guys are in trouble. I'm calling the cops. We're coming after you. And I'm thinking, so when I called and they said it's been towed, I'm just like, how can that be? So when I called, no answer. When I call again, no answer. And I called, by the third time they didn't answer, guess what? I was not in the love of the Lord. I was mad. And when they answered, I said, you know, you guys took my car. I paid for parking. You know, what's going on here? They're like, sir, you know, you're in violation. We towed you. It's going to be $135. You got to come pick it up. And I'm thinking, I'm like, how? Why I paid? And the guy in the background comes on and goes, sir, you can do whatever you want, but you got, you know. And so it didn't help matters. And I said, you're right. I will go on every day and give you a bad review on Google. And I hung up. And I'm mad. And so by the time my kids, they came in the other vehicle and they got up there, I probably wasn't the sweetest person to be around. I was pouting. I was having a pity party in my own head. Do you understand? Of course, later that night, I'm thinking, oh, even preachers have a bad day. Even preachers can get angry. Even preachers can get upset. And boy, to think, looking back, I didn't even give the guy a gospel tract. I'm pretty sure probably at the time I may have not have wanted to. But to understand, the truth of the matter is, all of us, we do struggle. And let me tell you, had a big giant come into my life at that moment, I would have fallen flat on my face. Why? Because I wasn't handling the little things very well. Now, I have to use myself as an example. Because if I were to use your example this week, you probably would never come back. You know, the preacher think he is talking about my problems and my issues in front of the church. Let me tell you, the truth of the matter is we all struggle with the little things. And we're not doing ourselves any service if we think we're going to go out and be the giant slayer of the big giants in our lives if we're failing in the little things on a day-to-day basis. How are you doing today? How did you do this week? The Bible says, he that is faithful, that which is at least is faithful also in much. Some of us were not ready because we are not faithful in the little things. I was not faithful in keeping my spirit in check. I was not faithful, you know, as my life verse is. Proverbs 25:28, he that hath control over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls. If we can't control ourselves, guess what? Anybody can walk in and dance all over our parade. I don't know where that phrase came from, but you know what I mean. All it took was a tow company to get me boiling over. You know, I'll close with this. There was a clerk in a bank that was due for a promotion, and one day he was standing in the cafeteria line and he didn't realize that the bank's president was behind him. And he was going through the line and the clerk picked up some butter that cost a few cents and he stuck it in between his bread thinking, "Yeah, it's just butter. It's only a few cents. If I put it in here, no one's going to know." But in the getting to the checkout line, he never paid for the butter. And the bank president saw that and he noticed it and immediately said, "You know what? If I can't trust him with a few cents of butter, how can I ever promote him to be in control over millions of dollars?" And that man, he never got his promotion that the bank president wanted to give him. Because this man was not found faithful in that which was least, no one was going to give him much more. God could use David to defeat Goliath and to rescue Israel because he was a faithful shepherd who determined that even though it was just one little sheep, I'm going to go after that bear. I'm going to go after that lion, even though no one's here to see me do it and put it on YouTube. Because really, that's the only reason people nowadays do stupid stuff, is to put it on YouTube. He was going to take care of what his father had entrusted him. How are we doing this morning in what the Father has entrusted to us? Parents, how are we doing as the Father has entrusted those precious children to us to raise them in the love and the admonition of the Lord? How are we doing? How faithful are we being in the little stuff? You know, when I see a young boy on the internet, and boy, he's up there yelling and screaming and preaching, you know, the young kid preacher, that doesn't impress me much, because you know why? The very first thing that comes to my mind is I want to ask that little boy, "Did you make your bed today? Did you do your homework?" Because I'm not impressed with any message you can preach if you can't do those things. I think we talked about that yesterday, Brother Hager. To think, how are we doing in the little things? How are we doing, teenagers, how are we doing in our spirit at home? How are we doing at obeying mom and dad? Let me tell you, say, "Oh, I want the will of God. I want to preach to millions and be an Adoniram Judson and set this world on fire. I want to be a Billy Sunday or D.L. Moody or Charles Spurgeon. And boy, I want God to use me greatly." Let me tell you, he can't use someone greatly who just doesn't do his chores, who can't obey what they're told to do. Come on now. I know I've gone from preaching now to meddling, but understand, even as parents too, how are we doing with the little things in our life? So, oh, those things don't matter. Oh, yes, they do matter. The Bible talks about the vineyard. It talks about the little foxes that'll get in, and boy, it'll destroy everything. Some of us, we want God to use us in a great and mighty way, but He can't, because we can't focus or take care of the little things. David was used mightily and greatly of the Lord because he was faithful. Before Goliath ever stood up, before Goliath ever opened his mouth, David had been faithful in the past. Therefore, David was able to be faithful once again. God wants to use us in a great, mighty way. God wants us to have the victory in every life. But the problem is, We want to set the world on fire for Christ. We want to have revival. Boy, but we can't even focus on what God has already given us. I hope that we'll understand as we look through the story. We got to face the giant. But guess what? Before every giant, there's some little giants that we have to face. There's some little giants that we need to conquer. There's going to be some little giants tomorrow morning you're going to have to face. And the trial of your life, whether it's already come or you're in it right now or it's coming, it's one of those three. We're going to fall flat on our face if we cannot understand the responsibility to face those little giants today and to be faithful in them and to be persistent and to understand the principle of progression that God was able to use David because David had already proved himself faithful. How about us? Are we just okay with not showing up? Are we okay with just not doing what we're supposed to do? Thinking, well, if I don't do it, someone else will. Or are we going to be like young David and say, you know what? I'm going to do it whether the king doesn't come with me. I'm going to do it whether my brothers come with me. You think out of everybody, his brothers would have stepped up and said, you know what? That's my little brother. No one picks on my little brother. Goliath, you're in trouble. You're going to get us all. Now, Goliath could have had his other brothers come out. They were also giants, but understand, he had to stand alone. But he was willing to stand alone. How about us? Well, we only serve God if everyone else does. Will you serve God only if it's convenient? Well, we serve God and go to church and tithe and read our Bible and to share the gospel with others as long as it fits in our schedule. Oh, it's the little things. We need to keep our eyes on the Lord. We need to focus. And God can use us in a great and mighty way. If you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, let me encourage you. As we talked about David getting the victory, and of course, if you don't know the story, we'll love for you to read the passage there as David does conquer and defeat Goliath, and as he was a picture of what Christ did on the cross, as he went to the cross of Calvary, and as Jesus Christ died in our place, as David won the victory for the whole army of Israel, Jesus Christ won the victory over death, hell, and the grave for all of mankind. And that one act, that one battle won the entire war. Let me tell you, what Christ did on the cross won the war over sin. And you and I today can be saved, we can be forgiven, we can be redeemed to a loving and holy God because of what His precious Son did on the cross of Calvary. But let me tell you, you can't earn it, you can't buy it, you can't be good enough. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Doesn't matter how good we are on earth, guess what? We still fall short. But it's because of God's love and His grace. Someone once told me, said, well, if God's such a loving God, why does He send me to hell? Why would He send a sinner to hell? No, God doesn't send anybody to hell. God realized and understood our future, and He gave of His Son. The only reason people ever die and go to hell is because they choose to go there. So why would anybody want to choose to go to hell? By not choosing the Lord Jesus Christ. Because the Bible says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The Bible says that Jesus died and He's a gift. A gift is free. If you have to earn it, buy it, or work for it, it's no longer a gift. It's a purchase. Or it's a business deal, whatever you want to call it. But yet it's a free gift. All we can do is put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. The Bible says in Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the Lord shall be saved. If you don't know the Lord this morning, I hope that you'd call upon Him and accept Him as your personal Savior. This church can't save you. Getting baptized in that tap water from the city can't save you. There's nothing special, holy, or spiritual about it. Baptism is just a picture of what took place inside your heart after you get saved, just like a wedding ring goes on the ring finger after the vows are made. Because before, it means nothing. It's empty. And even after you take it off, guess what? I'm still married. So, you've taken your ring off? I take my ring off all the time. I'm working on electrics and electricity and mechanics. Yeah, I don't want to get shocked and hurt, but to understand, I'm still married. This is just a picture. Just like baptism is just a picture of what took place inside. No one can see your heart. So baptism is a picture, just like you weren't there the day that I got married, July 23rd, 2004. It shows the world what took place in my heart and the vow I made to my wife, just like baptism is an outward picture to everyone that's here. Everyone's able to see, if they would come, to the world of what took place inside your heart, that you are not ashamed to be associated with Christ, just like I'm not ashamed to be associated with my wife. But baptism can't save you. Only Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life, and the door. The only way to get to heaven is through Jesus Christ. Would you trust Him? Let's pray. Lord, we thank You for Your Word, and we thank You for Your precious promises. And Lord, as we look at this story of David and Goliath, and we see the faithfulness and the determination and the persistence of young David, and his faithfulness in doing what he was required and tasked and called to do, that, Lord, he was able to get the bigger victory and go from victory to victory. And many times in our lives, Lord, we're not living a life of victory to victory to victory because we're failing in the little things. We're failing in our responsibilities. We're failing in our duties as a child of God. Lord, we're failing in reaching this world for Christ because we're failing in our day-to-day battles. Lord, let it be said that of those here this morning, and especially of myself, Lord, more than anybody, that we've been found faithful, that we serve and live each and every day going from victory to victory to victory over the little things, so when that giant does stand before us, we're able to slay it as quickly as David slayed Goliath. That, Lord, You will get the glory, You will get the honor, and You will get the praise. Because, Lord, it's not about us. It's about what You can do through us. As, Lord, it's not about David. We know he wasn't mighty. We know he was, in the sense of tall. He wasn't very strong. He was just a young boy. But Lord, what an illustration of a surrendered life in Your hands and in Your power. What can be done? The faith of the size of a grain of mustard seed. Lord, You tell us it can move mountains. But Lord, many times those giants in our lives, those mountains in our lives, we're not ready to take them because we're losing the little battles in our lives. We're letting the things go by. We're just become content, complacent, like the rest of the army of Israel and the king just sitting by and saying, I'm not going to do it. That's too big for me. Lord, it's time we step out by faith. We claim Your word and we claim Your victory and Your truths in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. If you would, stand with me as the piano begins to play. I know the time is late, but as the time of invitation is open, would you come? If the Holy Spirit has spoken to your heart, would you come? How are you doing this morning? Can you even remember the last time you had a victory? Are you seeing those victories day to day? Are you staying faithful? Are you staying in the fight? Are you staying close to the Word of God? Are you staying close to the Lord? Following His leading? Are you able to slay the giant of the flesh? The giant of this world? Are you able to say no? Many times that's the hardest word to ever say. Almost one of the smallest words. we continue to fall to addictions. We continue to fall to the things of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, over and over and over again. And we wonder why we can't get any defeat over the giant. It's time that we decide to be faithful. It's time that we commit ourselves. It's time that we decide we're going to serve the Lord no matter what. If you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, would you come forward and allow someone to show you from the Word of God how you could be saved, how you could know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? If that's the need, would you come? Don't walk out of here not knowing that Jesus Christ is your personal Savior. Amen. I know I've gone a little bit over this morning. I do apologize, but I want to try to get you out of here as quickly as possible. So in just a minute, we'll close in a word of prayer. Don't forget tonight our evening service at 6 o'clock. Then tonight, we'll also have the ice cream fellowship after the service. And so looking forward to that this evening. All right, Brother Higer, if you would close us in a word of prayer as we dismiss this morning. Again, visitors, thank you for being with us. And I hope that we'll go out this afternoon and the rest of this week, and we'll slay those little giants one after the other. So when that big one stands before us, it won't even be a sweat on our brow, because we're in such a rhythm and practice of trusting and leaning and serving the Lord. Amen. Let's go ahead and close as we dismiss this morning.
And let's pray. Father, I do thank you for today. And Lord, we thank you for the word of God that we've heard. And I just pray that you'd help us and strengthen us to be able to take that word and apply it to our lives, where we can be close to you. We can have your power. We can have your guidance and your wisdom as the little things come into our hearts and in our minds and into our lives. Lord, that we need your help to fight, so that one day when we have to stand before a giant, we can do that with you also. So Holy Spirit, please, pray you fill us with your power as we go today. Give you honor for what you do. In Jesus' name, amen. You are dismissed.